You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Y'all, hello and welcome back to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salacia Thomas, and my heart is already overwhelmed because the face I'm looking at today is somebody who I love. I've loved him for years. And you know what? He's always been a star. He's always been a star, even when he wasn't in the starring role. Does that make any sense? Do you know what I mean? When you're the swing, when you're the understudy, when you don't get to even go on every day. Well, that's when I first met him. And I've gotten to watch his ascension, literally, to the top. And it's all coming into view. It's all coming in. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer, and it's making sense. The place where he has been vibrating for years, if not a lifetime, is coming into manifestation in his physical life today. All right. He's an actor, a dancer, a singer, a personality. Oh, my God. He is a personality. Apparently, we'll get into this, a cinematographer. Excuse me? Director? Excuse me? Award-winning screenwriter? Excuse me? He's toured with Memphis, A Chorus Line, Beautiful, as well as done the Australian and Broadway companies of Beautiful, and is now starring on the Broadway in Paradise Square. Please help me welcome my friend, the effervescent and shining Sydney DuPont.
Oh my God, Salacia Thomas.
The freaking crowd goes wild.
My cheeks are like actually burning red. I'm just blushing, but also like I am cheesing just because I feel like this has been such an interesting couple of years. Am I right? Like with COVID and everything and everything happening. But I think the silver lining is just seeing how people have stepped, like you said, stepped into their purpose and their alignment. And I've just seen that with you in this podcast, and I've seen it with the majority of our beautiful cast of people.
Yes.
Who have just truly stepped into their purpose and truly stepped into something that I think it's just been destined. And
yes.
It's just, as you said these things about me and you encouraged me and poured love into me just right now, I have to pour love back into you.
Oh.
I am just so incredibly proud of you and so excited to talk with you today.
I love you. Period. Like, I love you so much. And we haven't talked in so long. So it's like, for those who are listening to this, you're like feeling like we get to catch up for the first time in so long. That's what's happening.
Right? This is brunch right now.
You're at our brunch right now.
Yeah.
I am so excited for you. Literally all of the things. Sydney, you've been talking about Paradise Square since we were in Beautiful on Broadway.
Truly, 5 years.
Five?
Years. Yeah. I mean, I started 2017 is when I got the call, and I was in Toronto by January of 2018. And then Berkeley and Chicago and a bunch of other workshops. And so it's just like, it's been such a blessing because you really get to build an entire character and show from the ground up. And that is just something that has always been a dream for me, and to actually get to do it and make a role that honestly you just don't see anymore, something that you sing and act and dance at such a high level the entire show, you know. And so that's just been a dream to kind of bring that, like, you know, style of musical theater back again.
And I hear you're fantastic. We've been hearing this, but like on Broadway, like we've heard the unofficial before Broadway. Oh yeah, Sydney is a yeah. But it's happening for real. And I'm hearing such great things. And I did get tickets a few weeks ago, but that was like the night that people got all the COVID or whatever.
Oh yeah, I know.
So I've got to get back in there to see.
Yeah. It's a special show. It's a special show. I mean, I'm excited for you to see it, and it will always have the biggest place in my heart, no matter what happens, I will never forget this moment. I will never, ever forget this moment in my life.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You look different than I remember you looking.
Good or bad?
Oh, no. Can you imagine? Yeah, Sydney, you look like crap. Can you freaking imagine? No. I'm saying you've always glowed and you've always been very fresh, so fresh and so clean. You've always had that and you're still very much that, but something else is different and I can't put my finger on it except I think I can. Except that I've not gotten to see you in your show just yet. And I cannot, I know I'm going to sit there and cry my little eyes out. But it feels like, and you can absolutely correct me because I haven't seen you in years. I don't know. Seems like, I don't know. You've stepped into something. Maybe you've stepped into your power. Maybe you've discovered more of yourself. I don't know. Like, there's D a of knowing the above. About you.
Yeah, I mean, D all of the above. I think that over the years, I mean, again, speaking about COVID, I think it was a pause, you know, although it was a very, very difficult time for everyone globally. It also was a pause for everyone and a reset. And I think I just learned a lot about myself, about what makes me happy, how to create the world I want to see and the people that I want to surround myself around, and just being a lot more intentional about my rest, intentional about my work, intentional about everything. Because I think before I've just been so like, work. Oh, you know, do this, go to this audition, do this take. And so much of my worth was coming from my work. And that, I mean, you could write a book about it, worth, you know, compared to work. And I think that's really what was the issue. And when everything shut down and stopped and I couldn't work anymore, right? And I had to just look at my worth, I was like, do you really believe you're worthy? Are you worthy of love? Are you worthy of the career that you've been dreaming about? Are you worthy of success? Do you really even want success? Because sometimes we don't realize that we are actively shooting our own selves in the foot. We'll do it all the time. We are afraid of success and we won't even realize it. It's a subconscious thing. And so I really started analyzing that subconscious part of myself and realizing, you know what? You actually need to do some work. You got to do some work on you. You got to love you a little bit more. And this is the time to do it. And so after that, I've just been a lot more grounded in my purpose and who I am. And so maybe
that. So you are not the only one who has asked themselves that question. I know I certainly did when the shutdown happened, and you can't do Broadway when Broadway don't exist. What did you find? How did you answer those questions, or how are you feeling about that now when you're like, what is your worth if it's not tied to your work? I know that I had to do some soul searching as well when I'm like, gosh, my neighbors always say, oh, that's the Broadway actress. Well, who's the Broadway actress when she's not on Broadway?
She is a human being. She is funny and charming and charismatic and absolutely vivacious in every single aspect of the word. And I think that is where, because I think if you weren't the Broadway actress, neighbor, you would still be Celecia Thomas, you know what I mean? The Beltress, you know?
The Beltress.
The Beltress. And I think that's it. Don't tell anybody.
They're like, everybody no. shut up. Celecia, shut up.
Yeah, no, but like, you know, I think that is, and let me be very clear, I still struggle with it to this day. I mean, how could you
still,
not?
Still though, Sydney?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Will Smith said it after.
Shut up.
Okay, but you know, Denzel, you know, I think he said something like, the devil comes for you when you're at your highest point, you know what I mean? And when I think about it, I think that is something that absolutely is the truth. Sometimes in your highest moments, that's where you can feel the loneliest. It's where you can feel most unfulfilled sometimes. And because, you know, I remember... Okay, this is serious. I won't say this person's name, but just know that they're like an Emmy, multi-Emmy nominated actor. They've been a Broadway, like a leading actor on Broadway, multiple productions for decades, right? And I asked them, this is before I booked Beautiful and got on Broadway, and I asked them, I said, what's it like being on Broadway? Like what, you know? And they said to me, it's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real.
No, that is not what they told you.
It really was. It really was. It really was. And it's not true, but it is so true. Because it is so incredible. There is simply no feeling like it. Being on a Broadway stage and taking a bow and just being in that world, especially when you have a cast like I have in Paradise Square that just loves you and support you. I really just love every single person in the cast, and they pour so much light and love into me, and I hope I do the same for them. And so there's those moments that are absolutely beautiful, but then there are days that it's work. It is just work, you know what I mean? And you can lose yourself in characters, and you can sing beautiful melodies and be truly living out your dream, but know that in the same breath, it's hard, and it's not for 8 shows a week. It's not for, you know, the faint of heart.
Right.
You know, and so I wouldn't necessarily fully agree that it's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real, but.
Who says that to somebody who wants to be in that position?
I know. I was so grateful for that, because I think by the time I got to Broadway, first of all, I understood that no matter what stage you're on, whether or not it is in Kentucky, whether or not it is in Chicago or LA or wherever, that stage and that chance to perform, that is the dream. That is the goal. Broadway is just a location. It's just a radius, a block.
And truly.
Truly. And at the end of the day, the art begins in, no matter where you're at, it begins in the storytelling, and it begins in you. And that's the only thing that matters. Everything else is just, you know, sprinkles on top.
What in the world? That freaking hit me in a way right now. Mm-hmm. Broadway is just a location. I've never even like...
Because we're not taught that, you know, we're taught, you know, Broadway is the...
It's the end all, be all.
But one thing I'm learning is that even making it to the point that I've gotten to, I think Andre, the Shield, he was like, you know, the top of one mountain is just the beginning of the next.
Yes.
You know? And I feel that so deeply, because it's just a prologue. It's a prologue to the rest of the chapters of your book. And so I'm so excited for this to be my prologue, and I'm excited for this to be your prologue.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like there is just, you know, that is the epitome of humanity, it's growth. And I'm just so excited. Grow and keep growing with the show Paradise Square and moving forward, you know. I'm just really excited.
I'm excited for you, but like literally what you just said, I remember seeing like a TED talk or something, and it was like this multi-millionaire man, whatever, like giving a talk, and he lives next door to a billionaire, and he's like the poor kid on the hallway, like on the block. He's like, yeah, I haven't got a lot of money until you meet my neighbors. Like, just the peak of one mountain is like the valley of the next one.
Yes, the valley of the next. Yeah, no, that's so. I didn't even think of that. That's so true, and it's hard because you also want to be able to enjoy the moments, right? You don't want to be looking forward to like, oh, well, what's the next step or what's the next mountain? Because that's something actors are famous about too, you know, never be still. But I am also finding a beauty, and again, being intentional and rest and balance in that. And I'm also finding so much joy in doing nothing.
Ooh.
I have just gotten into doing nothing. And that is so... It is the most fulfilling thing, because sometimes doing nothing, you find so much more, because you finally have a stillness and you're not thinking about what's next, what's, you know, you're doing nothing. And so when you are at the theater, you are performing in front of thousands of people, right?
Yeah.
You can appreciate those moments a little bit more. You can linger in those moments a little bit more, because you have the rest and the energy to take it in, to take in the moments, to take it in the real time and remaining present, truly.
Oh my friggin' goodness. I'm like, yes, you better drop these gems on me. And I've heard you talk a lot, Sydney, on the road. I remember you'd be at every talk back, and I'm like, if Sydney's at this talk back, I could take a break, because Sydney got a lot to say. Sydney got a lot to say about everything. And still, you are dropping new gems on me today that I've not heard from you before. How do you, and you might have just kind of answered this, but still I want to know, because you are so high energy, you kind of just answered this, but still I'm going to ask it. How do you recharge at the end of the day, at the end of the night? Because well, you give.
Yeah, I will say this, like the amount of work that I had to give in Beautiful is just simply a lot less. I'm like so excited for you to see the show. Because I feel like if you start the show, you'll be like, I know exactly how you pass. Because
it's less? Sydney, you were dripping in sweat at the end of the night.
I am dripping after every number.
I'm not ready.
Yeah. It's a roller coaster. I mean, and for me, it's not even just the dancing. That always physically is just, you know, it can be exhausting. It'll get you. But for me, it's the emotional nature of the show. It is such a pure entertainment piece. It is something that I've dreamed about, which is a show that puts a mirror to the audience and says, hey, this is what they did, you know what I mean? And how can you do better? And how can you make different choices so that we don't remain? I mean, I remember back, you know, because I've been a part of this for so long, I remember listening to some of the historical things and I was like, oh, this is too on the nose. Oh, this is like, da, da, da. Oh, this is, and time after year, after January 6th, after, you know, all these different things happened, everything in our show was repeated right now in today's time.
And your show takes place when?
1863. And I was, you know, and also what's also an important point that I always forget to mention is that this part of history, this town, this radius, this, you know, Five Points area was almost forgotten by history. It was literally burnt to the ground. And there was very little historical paperwork on this period. You know, we talk about Stephen Foster in the show, who has a very complicated history with minstrelsy and other stuff like that. But one of the things was, but after he died, a lot of his music and everything had been burnt and stuff like that. But a lot of his music was found. And that was the only way a lot of his historical accounts on the Five Points was also found. And it was a way that so much of the history actually made it to the history books. Now, granted, this is still told history through a white man's lens, you know, yeah. You know, which is, you know. But I think it is very interesting that this very interesting part of history was almost forgotten, very much like Tulsa, Oklahoma, very much also like a lot of Black history somehow makes its way into the trash can. And so I'm glad that we were able to, you know, bring it back out and, you know, clean it up a little bit and tell a story.
Can I ask you like your opinion on like, I think this is kind of a fun question personally that I was not expecting to ask you, but you kind of just touched on it. What do you think about somebody becoming like making history after they've passed on or making a bigger impact after they've left the earth versus doing it while you're alive? What do you think about that?
Good question. I think it's a little bit complicated. So I think I'll try to answer this as quickly as possible. So I think—
Take a time, Pastor.
I think that people oftentimes don't get the roses and the flowers that they are due when they're alive. And even if they are alive, oftentimes they are not given the recognition that they deserve when they deserve it. They wait until they're either older or like, you know, and until, you know, they're in the 80s and to put them into the, you know, rock and roll Hall of Fame. And
yes.
You know, and I think that sometimes some people don't win Grammys or, you know, because somebody else is older and they were due for it 3 albums ago. Wow. And they didn't get it. They went for that. And somebody who's fresh and maybe a new face but had, you know, a better album just get scrapped, you know, everyone's always hoping, oh, well, they'll have another chance. They'll have another go. But as we know, especially through COVID, you know, life and death is, it can just go like that. And so there is no reason to believe that people will live forever or live long enough to achieve their potential. And so I think it's so important to give people their flowers when they're due and when they're just in the moment and the time. You know, because people leave the earth and they become bigger, or their artistry or their artwork or whatever becomes bigger because they are gone. And because it is a rarity because they are gone, you know, Basquiat and so many others. I think it just does a disservice because most people want to feel that success while they're on the earth and while they're here.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think in the same breath, I do think it's important to pay homage to people, even after they're gone. And you may not have realized the potential when they were here, but I think the family, the people who that person may have left behind, I'm sure they appreciate it. And I'm sure maybe even their children appreciate it.
Okay, what about this? See, I thought I knew my friend, and then I seen an article saying that you can't hear in one ear. What? Since when, Sydney? And how have you been able to do all of the stuff that you do? How? And not tell anybody? What the heck?
You know, it never was like a secret. You know, I never wanted it to be like, oh, you're ashamed of this, or it's like a part of it. It's never been like that. But I think for me, I never wanted people to, and this started from when I was in elementary school. You know, I never wanted people to treat me differently or expect a different level of help or anything that anybody else was given. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's not something that I consciously think about. You know, people talk about disabilities, and I think it's, you know, while I do have an impairment, I don't think I'm disabled. I think that I have absolutely, I experience the world differently than most people who have, you know, full hearing, but I absolutely experience the world, period. And I know
fully.
Fully. And I, you know, what's been so great about that people article is that so many young artists and older artists, as well as just people who are not even in theater, or not even in the industry at all, have DM'd me, have sent emails to me, have reached out to me on Twitter and elsewhere. And it's just crazy. I mean, there's been casting directors who have come to me and been like, I have a cholesteatoma too. Stephen Colbert has a cholesteatoma. Like, there's so many people. Yes, and there's so many people who are hearing impaired. I mean, I don't know if this is out there, but, you know, even Jason Howland, I mean, obviously he didn't have a cholesteatoma, but, you know, he's hearing impaired. And so there's a lot of people who are yes. And we are here. We are living throughout this industry and other industries.
And thriving.
And so it's just been so great to hear from people, to know that they have been inspired by my story.
Yes.
But also just know that's possible. You know, one of the biggest things I've been worried about, you know, was dancing, actually, you know, because your equilibrium is completely messed up, you know.
But you're like a dancer.
You know, but I think it's, and I was blessed because I think, you know, it happened so earlier on in my life. I was about 5 when it started, and I had about maybe four surgeries from 5 until about like 10, 12. And so it was something that I had dealt with for, and I started losing hearing fairly quickly. And so it was something that I had just been, you know, used to. And my right ear has become so much more powerful because of the lack, you know, just, you know, making up for the lack. And so I to answer your question, I don't know how I do it.
Wow.
Very much like most people, like mothers, like fathers, like everybody in this world, we just do it. We show up somehow, some way, when there's no solution in sight. We just show up, and we do it because we have to, and because we know our destiny is greater than whatever.
You know, it really is inspiring. It's so inspiring when the people, because you are very visible, and when you are on these stages, big, small, wherever, people are looking at you. And when there's something that is like, I don't know, not as perfect as what society would say, and you're doing what you're doing on those stages with whatever that impairment might be, there are so many people looking at you like, wait, that's me too. If he can do it, I can do it. If it's possible for him, maybe it's possible for me. Like, I remember I was jogging and I was like, I'm tired. I can't do this no more. And a man with a fake leg passed me jogging.
Wow.
Made me look. I was like, Salisha. You get no excuse.
No, and I mean, and it's it is impossible not to be inspired by that. You know, seeing someone just because they have to, and you know what I mean. And
yes.
It's really beautiful to see moments like that for sure. Absolutely.
Sydney, what makes you feel seen?
Oof. Seen. Oh, that's I don't know why that just got me. I spoke about it in my People article, Nina Simone, and she talks about what freedom is. They ask her, you know, what's freedom? You know, what's freedom to you, Nina? And she like scoffs and just like, what? Like, what's freedom to me? Like, what's freedom? Like, what's freedom to you? You know? And she says, it's no fear. No fear. And she was like, I've very seldomly felt that in my life. No fear. And she said, the times that I felt it were on stage. And there's been some moments where I've absolutely felt free. And in those moments, and I'll expand on that, in those moments that I have felt free is when I felt the most seen in my life. And sometimes that freedom comes in performing. And, you know, I actually have a line in the show that I sing at the end of my like big, you know, 11 o'clock number. And I say, tonight I'm feeling free. And it was not in the script. It was not something that they lyrics put in. And it was just like an open moment. And one night in Chicago, I just said it. And it was because I really was feeling it in that moment, tears coming at them, streaming down my face. And I felt so alive and free and seen. And it was unlike any moment in my life. And now it's a part of my show every night. And even nights that I don't feel like that, by that point,
you feel that.
I feel it. You know what I mean?
And stating it every night.
Stating it every night and dropping in. And you know what that's like, to drop in.
Yes.
Just, no matter what's going on in your life, to drop in that moment and find that freedom and feel seen in that way. So I felt it in those times. I felt it, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you have a relationship with someone that feels like you just don't have to
act like you're cool when you're really a dork.
You could be a nerd. You could be, you know, it's really powerful. Those are the times that I feel seen as well. And I also feel seen by my dog, Olivia, because I feel like no matter if you know Olivia.
Going strong.
Yeah, I think our animals in our lives, no matter what we accomplish or don't accomplish, or, you know, no matter what we do, they love us regardless, and they see us regardless of all of it. And that sometimes I feel seen by her, you know, because I could be anything for her besides her provider and lover, you know.
And I this is not really a final question, but it is the final question. This should not have been my final question, but where does your confidence come from? And have you always been? I only know you to be confident and like, here I am, world. Like, I've only known
you. And I keep quoting people, but I really get a lot of my strength from other artists and my parents. And but or what's his name? Old Town Road.
Lil Nas X.
He said this when he was winning, I think, a VMA or something like that. He was like, it takes delusion for us to do what we do. You have to be a little delusional, right? Like, you have to, because I mean, what is this? I think it's like less than 2% of working actors actually make it to Broadway. 1% of those actors actually make it to principal. And it's like 0.something for an original Broadway show to be a principal. And you know what I mean? And that was my dream. And so when you look at the odds, you have to be delusional, you know? And, but in that delusion, there is planning and there's hard work and there's work ethic and there's crafting and there's thousands and thousands of dollars that we spend in schooling and headshots and printing and no's and a lot of little yeses and big yeses and mm-hmm. a lot of big no's and all of that comes into play. So I think for me, my confidence, even from as a kid, has really shifted from my parents, who have always instilled in me that not only was I special, but that what I had to give to the world was important and that I was important. And through that, I have also allowed myself to become a little delusional in a sense that I thought it was possible. And not only that it was possible, that it was unavoidable, that it was, yes. that there was no other
inevitable. Option.
It was inevitable. There it is. It was inevitable. And I think that when you believe that, so much so, I think it your agents, you know, the producers, people who see you, first of all, they see your work ethic. They see all the things that you do. They see you yeah. show up every day. They yeah. see you do the work. And so that's a big part of it. But they also see the confidence that you have that no matter what is thrown your way, you're going to show up for yourself. One of the things I learned, and I'll leave it with this, one of my teachers told me this, professionalism is not the way that you think it is when you're growing up. Professionalism is being professional when no one around you is being professional. When no matter what's happening in the world around you, no matter what's happening, you are being a professional, and not only a professional, but you are showing up and doing the work with joy, with kindness, with grace, right? All of that comes into play. And when you're able to do all of that, that is the epitome of a professional. That is the epitome of somebody who deserves the confidence and that they may have, who is humble enough to make space for other lights to shine around you. Mm. You know what I mean? And that, and knowing that that in that space is the only way to celebrate life and celebrate people.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Yeah. And you know what? Once it's done, guess what? I guess you weren't delusional at all, huh? Because guess what? Somebody's got to be there. Somebody's got to be the president of the United States. Somebody's got to be. Why not you? Somebody's got to be on the television. Somebody has to write the shows. Somebody has to sing the shows. Somebody has to direct. Like, it's got to be somebody. Why not you?
And there's so much freedom in embracing your destiny. When you realize that there is, that you are much bigger than the little boy in Philadelphia who, you know, grew up in the hood and you know, may have had a lot of distractions around you, but when you know that there's a purpose called on your life, it, even from as a little kid, I knew, and I didn't know it would end up here. I really didn't. I had faith that it would. I really didn't know, but I knew that I was going to experience a lot more of the world. And I'm just really glad that I got to experience so much of this country and so much of this world with you on that tour. I learned so much from you. You have no idea.
Oh, I learned a lot from you, just in terms of even like how to hold yourself energetically. Physically,
you've never had trouble with energy. Hold on. If anything, I think people always look at us and we were the energizing bunnies. You more than me.
I think you more than me. Like, I'm like, where's Sydney going? To the mall? What? You're dressed for the red carpet and you going to the mall? I'm like, I need to up my game. What am I doing in these?
So my mom used to always say, dress how you want to feel. Not how you may feel at the moment, but dress how you want to feel.
Well, if I wore a gown every day, would that be too much?
Salisha, never, never. And that's the thing I always loved about you too. You would show up in a gown, where it's a cocktail attire, you would show up in a gown. And every single time, everybody was always gagged and we were always loving it, because why not? Like, why not? Why do less? Why do less when you can do a little bit more, right? And everybody's gonna love you for it. So.
One life, and I really feel like you were the epitome of that. And so, if you guys are listening to this and you don't follow Sydney, please figure out where can people find you, Sydney?
Sydney DuPont, that is my tag on Instagram. I'm also, I've told you I'm a cinematographer and I do a lot of work with writing and stuff like that. And I just won an award for one of my musicals that I've been writing. It's a television musical.
How dare you? What?
And I've been working on this since pretty much as long as Paradise Square, to be honest. But it's one of those things that you work in silence, you know. So what's that rap? I think it's like you move like the G in lasagna. Lil Wayne. But you do the work, and ultimately, you know, I think you just let the work speak for itself. And so I'm working on a lot of different things. So please follow along with me on Sydney DuPont, Sidney. I know people want to put the Y there, but Si. Mm. Anyway, like Sydney Poitier. I just
re-clicked the button on the Instagram so you'll see my face pop up again. But I love you. I love you so much.
I love you.
I'm so excited for you. I cannot wait to see you. Don't worry about that. I cannot wait to see you in Paradise Square and just to celebrate you. I know I'm going to be bawling my eyes out. I already know it.
I know. I just want to give you a hug right now. I want to give you I wish I could reach to the computer screen and just give you a hug. I'm so, so proud of you. Thank you so much for having me on.
I love you. And get some rest. I know you have a show in a couple hours, so I'm going to let you go. Oh.
Thank you, darling. Thank
love you, Sydney. And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.